Some of you might be followers on social media. You know, people today follow rock stars, sports figures, movie actors, some politicians, financial wizards, and all kinds of people. And of course, some follow them to a T, we might say, and if their person they're following does this, then they want to do it. Or if the person they're following believes this, then they start to believe it. Well, we're going to talk about followers this morning. We're going to talk about followers of Jesus. The Bible calls them disciples. That's what a disciple is. And so we're going to look this morning what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And especially what that means on an everyday, what it looks like every day. What does it mean to be a disciple and a follower every day? Our text is going to, of course, come from a very familiar passage, Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. These are the words of Jesus. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." The very first thing to note here is that a disciple is a Christian. In Acts chapter 11, we have the very famous verse that links discipleship and Christianity. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "And we had found him," talking about Barnabas looking for Saul, "he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." So in order to be a disciple, one must be a Christian. One must be a child of God, which means that individual has come to God in faith. They've repented of their sins while confessing their belief in the risen Savior. And then they were immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. That's when the life of a disciple begins. As I mentioned previously, a disciple is one who follows. Notice what Jesus said in our text. "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Well, what does that mean to follow Jesus? It means to follow his example. It means to follow his teachings. It means to join his company and be a part of that company, to travel with him. So the idea is, whenever we leave our house or whenever we go anywhere, it's as if we are traveling in the company of Jesus. We are listening to his teachings, we're following his example, we're doing what Jesus would do. That's what a disciple does. And sometimes this means making sacrifices. And Jesus didn't sugarcoat being a disciple. I mean, he told his followers that it might be costly. Back in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18, Jesus talks about some of these sacrifices. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, for the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus is teaching here about the cost of discipleship, that one may have to sacrifice. Jesus says, the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a nice, comfortable home to go to every day. Sacrifices. And those sacrifices might mean sacrificing friendship and those familial relationships that we have. In Matthew chapter 10, just a couple of pages on over from where we are, Jesus taught this in verse 37. Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So being a true follower of Jesus is going to involve sacrifice, whether that's of reputation, wealth, possessions, homes, friends, family. Jesus says if you're really going to be a follower, a disciple, then that means sacrifice. And sometimes that sacrifice can be very, very intense. So he didn't want people to follow him unless they understood the cost, that it would be difficult at times. So a disciple is one, not only as a Christian, but as a disciple is one who truly follows Jesus' example, his teachings, follows his company. But a disciple is also a learner, a lifelong learner. In John chapter 6, Jesus taught this to some of those who were following him. Jesus often had crowds following him, sometimes for the wrong reason. But in John chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, means you're going to be a learner. So when you first become a Christian, you're beginning to learn what it means to follow Jesus. Just like in the first century, Jewish rabbis would have people who would follow them, you know, from sunup to sundown, so to speak, and watch them and listen to what they said and how they interacted with people, places they would go, places they would not go. So Jesus says, you need to learn from me. Well, how do we learn from Jesus? Jesus isn't physically with us, so how do I learn? Well, there's only one way to learn, and that's from reading the written word. That's how I know what Jesus taught. That's how I know what Jesus did. That's how I can understand the miracles he performed, or I can understand what he taught on the Sermon on the Mount, or how he interacted with the woman at the well, or how he interacted with Nicodemus or different people. That's how I learn to be a disciple. I learn about Christ's life. I learn about what he did. I learn about his examples, his teachings. I learn from him. And see, his words have been left for us in Scripture. Paul told Timothy, and remember at this time, Timothy was what we would call a located preacher. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul tells Timothy that he needs to be a learner and that he needs to teach the people there at the congregation to be learners. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, Paul writes, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's how I learned to be a disciple. I learned from Scripture. And that's why the Holy Spirit has given us Scripture, so we can learn from it about how to live a life of a disciple. We don't have visions, we don't have dreams, we don't have appearances. We have the perfect written word. So his words are there for us to learn in order to do them. It's not just for us to learn or memorize or whatever. We learn them for one purpose, in order to apply them. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he told them all about this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Listen to how he put it. Philippians 4 verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Now notice, it wasn't just things you've heard, things you've received, things you've learned, but it's the things that you do. Doing is important. We're going to be judged by what we do in this life. And so a disciple is a doer. We learn so we can do. We don't just learn to learn. We learn to do. Well, what else does a disciple do? The Bible says a disciple worships. In Acts chapter 20, we have this account of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. What did disciples do on every first day of the week? They gathered to worship their Lord, to worship their Master. And of course, this was done as soon as the church came into existence there in Acts chapter 2. What did those people do? They met and broke bread. They prayed. They sang. And this worship, Jesus said, must be done in spirit and in truth. Remember his conversation in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. They were having a conversation about worship. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, this is what he tells her. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So when disciples come together to worship, it has to be done in spirit and in truth. We're not given unlimited ways to worship him. We're told very specifically how to worship him. So if we're going to be a follower, a real disciple, we're going to worship him as he has said. A disciple also gives. In Acts chapter 11, we read about this giving. Acts chapter 11, we'll read verses 29 and 30. Acts 11, verse 29. Then the disciples, there's the learners, there are the followers, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. We read that money was taken up every Lord's day for this purpose and others. We read about, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, those first few verses, on the first day of the week, let each of you lay by him in store. We're supposed to do that every first day of the week, lay by in store. And of course, that context is telling us how we take care of church business. There were people in Judea, Christians in Judea, who needed help. And so the money that was collected, that could go to them. So it had a purpose when the need arose. So that way, by doing it every Lord's Day, they would have monies available to do the Lord's work. And of course, this giving, as we go and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and that whole chapter is about how those people gave. But it wasn't just money they gave. They gave their time. You know, giving our time is just as important as giving our money. You know, using our talents or our abilities, our energy. You know, he wants us to give all of that. Some may not have much money, but they have a lot of time. Or they may have a lot of abilities. They may be very energetic. And so they can do those things. So a real disciple gives not just money, but time and resources and abilities and talents and energy for the Lord's work. We also see that a disciple serves. In Acts chapter 21, we read about this in verse 16. Acts chapter 21 and verse 16 says, "And also some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple, with whom we were to lodge. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." A disciple practices hospitality. This one was called an early disciple. Apparently he had been a disciple for some time. And how was he serving? He was opening up his house. He was being hospitable. So a disciple uses his resources in whatever way is necessary. Again, those resources can be possessions, or they can be, that can be money, or that can be time. Time is a resource. Energy is a resource. Our talents and abilities are resources. And so a disciple uses those resources, whatever they are, to serve, to be a servant. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter tells us this in verse 9. He says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift." As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has received a gift, whatever that is, and some have many, some have few, we all have some. He says, use it to serve one another. Use it as good stewards of God's grace. And then lastly, of course, the disciple is to do what? Jesus said in his upper room discourse in John 13, verses 34 and 35, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So love was to be the distinguishing mark of a disciple. A person could claim to be a disciple, could claim to be a follower of Christ, but if they didn't exhibit and show love, this is agape love, that love where we're more concerned about the other person than we are ourselves, we're concerned about their best interest. If we don't have that, then we can't legitimately claim to be a disciple, because that's what Jesus did. He was always concerned about the other person, their destiny, where they would spend eternity. That's what he was concerned with more than anything, was salvation. And of course, that love is how we mimic Jesus. There in that same chapter, John chapter 13, verse 1, It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. See, there was our example. We're to be in his company, following him, learning from him. So these are the things that tell us we're disciples. We're a Christian. We follow and learn from Jesus. Disciples worship, they give, they serve, and they love. See, this describes a real, true disciple. But notice first, it starts with becoming a Christian, repenting and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That's how it all starts. But then what? We learn from Jesus. We learn about his teachings. We learn from his example. We learn from his interactions. We learn from his relationships. That's what we do. And so this morning, if it's your desire to become a Christian, or if maybe you've been kind of falling back on your discipleship and you want to have prayers of the congregation, then we encourage that as well. As we come, let's stand and sing this song.